Let's come in now to our time of worship. Let's come in to our opening praise. 708, please. If you were here this morning, we've sung the hymn already. If you're here tonight, you'll enjoy singing it heartily. And throughout the incoming evenings of our mission, we're going to use this as our opening and theme hymn. You know our theme verse, John 3:16. And this is our theme hymn because it says it in words of praise that God loved the world and gave us His Son. So let's stand and sing all three verses, 708. Standing to sing this time.
Let's just have an opening word of prayer, folks. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together tonight. We thank you for the great theme of the gospel. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came to die upon Calvary's cross, that we may be saved from our sins because we cannot live in your presence. If we are sinners, we cannot spend forever with you. If we are sinners, if we continue in our sins, we need to be forgiven. And we thank you that Jesus died upon the cross, that we might know forgiveness. And we pray that you'll bless the theme of these meetings throughout this week. We pray that you'll bless your word that is clearly explained and preached, and may it bring blessing to many. So we thank you for this night, Lord, and be with us, we pray, tomorrow night through to Friday, next Sunday, at 8 o'clock. We do pray that we shall know your blessing upon us here. We thank you for those who have gathered in tonight, those who from other churches will be praying for us. And we do pray that you will hear and answer prayer. So bless us now, we ask it in Jesus' name, these things. Amen. Folks, it's very glad to see you along tonight. I know that there are a number of visitors from different churches. Thank you for your support. And next Sunday night, our evening service will be at 8 o'clock as well. And I know that you'll be praying for us. There'll be different ones taking part each night, singers. And on Friday night, there won't be a singer, but instead there will be a word of testimony. And we're glad to welcome George Graham here tonight. I think it's your first time here, George. Now, George was singing at a church before here. And I rang that particular church and asked them who the singer was. And so they said it was George Graham. And the only George Graham I ever knew, he played for Arsenal. And he managed them for a while. But it's not this George Graham. So it's lovely to have you along tonight, George. And we have different singers each night. So George is going to start off tonight. And thank you for your first piece in song. Thank you.
It is indeed a pleasure this evening to be here. It's always good to come and share the gospel. I'm going to start with a piece here tonight, and it's really a testimony piece of my life, and it's just entitled Wasted Years. You know, as a young man, I wasted many years in the things of this old world. And I tried the things of this old world, and I have to say tonight, I never had happiness nor peace until I met the Savior. Thank God he's changed my life so much. Never thought I would be standing singing to folk. But what God can do by life is given to him. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know him as yet. To this point in time, you've never asked Jesus into your life. I trust that this might be the night that you would see your need that you're a sinner and trust Jesus. Wasted years.
Have you wandered along on life's pathway? Is your life without Christ a life of tears? Have you searched for that great hidden meaning? Or is your life filled with long and wasted years? Wasted years, wasted years, oh how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fears, turn around, turn around, God is calling, he's calling you from a life of wasted years. Search for wisdom and know understanding. There is someone who knows and always hears. Give it up, give it up, the load you're bearing, for you can go on in a life of wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years, oh how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fear, turn around, turn around, God is calling, he's calling. a life of wasted years. Don't you know that Jesus died for all sinners? He loves you, and your guilt He'll gladly bear. Come to Him, come to Him, your sins confessing. You can go on with the life of wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fear, turn around, turn around. God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted
years. Wasted years. So we can have so many wasted years, and it's only when we give our lives to the Lord that we have fulfilled years. I'm going to ask Nigel now to come. Reverend Nigel Kissick is our speaker for this week. Spoke this morning, and speaking tonight, obviously, and then Monday to Friday, and then both services next Sunday as well. So I'm going to ask Nigel to come and do his Bible reading for us.
Thank you, Raymond. Well, good evening, all. Good evening. We'll go again. Good evening, all. It's nice to see you. We bid you all a very warm welcome in the Saviour's name. Thank you for making the effort and joining with us this evening. And we do trust that as we sit under God's word again tonight, that God will bless His word to our hearts. We're reading from Genesis and chapter 6. We're in Genesis 7 this morning. We're going to look together just for a few moments, or later on, just at this man called Noah. Genesis 6, reading verses 1 to 9. And then moving over into chapter 7, and we're just going to read a couple of verses, verse 1 of chapter 7, and then also into verse 16, please. But let's read together Genesis 6, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were also giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man, and it grieved him, made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Chapter 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Verse 16, please. "And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as the Lord God, or as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." And we'll end our reading there this evening, and know that God will bless his word to our hearts. Thank you, Raymond.
Thanks, Nigel. Let me just leave you with the following announcements. And I've already given you a warm welcome. And we're back here tomorrow night again, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 8 o'clock. Time of prayer in the back hall here before each service at 7:30. And next Sunday, the Sunday school and Bible class will be at 11:30. And then our morning service, 11:30, and our evening service at 8 o'clock. On Friday night, the youth will meet here about 6 o'clock, and they're going to have a time together before the evening service. We will be having a men's breakfast in the Adair Arms Hotel at 8 o'clock next Saturday morning. I think the sheets are still there. If you would like to come along, you're made very, very welcome. It doesn't cost you anything. It's another form of outreach, and the church will pay for all that. And then the ladies are going to have a lunch also at the Adair Arms at 12:30. And again, ladies, there's a sheet there to put your name down just for the Adair Arms and for the purposes of catering. There's different forms of literature on the vegetable table. If you're anxious, if you want to become a Christian, if you are a Christian but maybe just not too sure or whatever, you know, other stuff there, and you can take it. It's all free. I think those are all the announcements, and we're going to bring to the Lord our offerings just now. Thank you. Let's pray. So, Lord, we thank you indeed for this night. Just help us to enjoy this hour in your house. And we thank you for the praise. And we thank you for the reading of the Bible and for the preaching of it. And we pray it will do us all good. So be with us now, we pray. Thank you for those listening in to us via the internet. And we pray that you'll bless our services as they go out online each night. We pray it will bring blessing to many too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, George, you come and sing again for us. Thank you.
As I finish the last piece, folks, tonight, I want to just ask the question. Maybe you're here tonight and you're wondering, what is life all about? Sometimes you hear it as life worth living. I've got to tell you, through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, it's altogether lovely and well worth living. If you're in Christ tonight, let me tell you, all else will fade away through time And you and I one day will have to leave everything we own or everything we have. Let me ask you, what's holding you back tonight from coming to him, giving him your life? Thank God that's a life well worth living. I wasted many years, as I said, but I'm only too happy to serve my Saviour now. God sent his Son.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He gave his life to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And because he lives, I confess tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he reigns. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen.
Thank you, George. Now we're all going to stand and sing number 1127, and then Nigel will take over the rest of the service. When I was lost, you came and rescued me, reached down into the pit and lifted me. O Lord, such love, I was as far from you as I could be.
Oh,
Well, again, may I say a very big word of thanks to our brother Raymond and to the fellowship here for their very kind words of welcome. It's also good to renew fellowship with George, and nice to see him again. And we do trust that God will bless his ministry to our hearts already. And whatever the reason you find yourself in the house of God tonight, whatever purpose, we believe that God ultimately has one purpose, and if you're not a Christian, is that God would reach into your heart just where you are and reveal Christ to you and bring you to that place of saving faith in him. But it's funny, I'll just tell you a wee story what happened to me earlier on this morning in church. I don't know, for those of you folk who know the church here well, in the minister's room, one of these big sliding wardrobe things with glass mirror on it thing. And I had to go in and out a couple of times, you know, just after church to gather up a few things before I went home. And every time, I just had my head down, it was just every time I walked in, I always seemed to pass this boy on the way by. And I couldn't figure out every time I passed this position in the door, this boy passed the same place. And I'm thinking to myself, that's strange. But Pastor remarks, I walked back in again. Then next thing, the second time I walked in, I looked up, realized I was actually passing myself on each occasion. So I felt like we're all daft gam, I did. But anyway, you'll forgive me anyway, it's my simplicity. But I couldn't believe myself what I was doing. It's a good job. A good job my wife, she clipped me around the ear and told me to catch myself on. But she's here tonight, so she'll likely do that later on anyway, so it'll not matter. But anyway, but let's bow for a wee word of prayer together, and let's just ask God to bless his word this evening. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this privilege of just being in your house, to sit under your word, and we believe that your word is able to change people's lives when the Spirit of God comes upon it. We're not belittling your word tonight by any means, Father. We believe it reaches far beyond the words of man can ever reach. And it does, it transforms lives more than any man could ever transform his own life. We ask thee tonight, dear God, that your word would speak into all of our hearts tonight, just where we are, in our need. And help us, Father, even as we sit in the house of God, not to get into that place whereby this would be a good word for somebody else and not realize that this is a word for me personally. We pray tonight, dear God, that your Spirit will enable us, and we look to thee as we ask this morning for the aid and the help of the third person of the Trinity, him who is the Holy Ghost. We need, Lord, you to come by your Spirit upon us and even into this gathering this evening. We know you're here because you promised where two or three are gathered in your name, you would be in your midst, in the midst of your people. But, Father, we pray for your presence to intensify and increase. We pray, Lord, for light to come through the word of God that's spoken. We pray most of all, Lord, that you would transform lives for your glory. Continue to transform us, Lord, as your people, making us more and more like Jesus. And Lord, we ask thee for the help and the aid of the Spirit of God, for it's in your name we ask it. Amen. The character we just want to look at for a few moments this evening and for our remaining moments is this man called Noah. We've read about him in Genesis in chapter 6, and I'm sure, like myself, and like you, not taking it for granted, but I'm sure as a child, down through your childhood days, well, in Sunday school or whatever the place, we all heard the story about this man called Noah, known as the great ark builder, this man whom God appointed this, given this task to build an ark. And we're told the story about how that he built it, he labored at this building of this ark for 120 years and was faithful in this task. And also, while he was known as the ark builder, the scripture also records for us that he was also a preacher of righteousness, according to 2 Peter and 2 Peter 2 and 5. But actually, it wasn't only too recently that I realized that this man Noah's name means something that I never knew before. Because Noah actually means the word, it means rest or comfort. And in many ways, whenever Noah went to the people of his generation, although he was speaking and was going to speak to the people and tell them about the wrath of God which was to come, if they would have obeyed God, they would have enjoyed the comfort of God and the comfort of not experiencing the wrath of God. But for this man, Noah, for him, he was a man who was at rest with God in his soul. So although his name means rest, he actually was at rest with God in his soul because he was right with God. And ultimately, at the very outset of this evening meeting, I'm just asking you a very personal question tonight. And it's very simple, but it's something that you must ask, can only answer personally. And it is this: are you at rest with God in your soul? Because the reality is, dear soul, if you're not at rest with God, you can be because of a man called Christ Jesus. And maybe tonight, as you sit here, irrelevant of
Who else is in the house of God? I want you just to think, and I want you just to listen, for God has something to say to you personally, just where you are. Whatever your need might be, whether you don't think you're as bad as somebody else, or whether you think there's somebody else in church and you think that they need this more than you do, the reality is that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, then this evening this is a word that you need for your life personally, and something that you need to apply to your life personally. I want to just give you a couple of wee thoughts and around us, these verses that we read together. And the first thought I want to share with you is the fact that in these verses that we have read, I see a heart that is broken. And the heart that is broken is not a human heart, but it's the heart of the eternal God. Because what you see is whenever God has created man in the early part of the chapter, or in the early part of the book of Genesis, and then as man rebels against God, remember how we mentioned that this morning, and how that we're all rebels at heart, we all rebel against authority, against rulers, against those who are over us, but ultimately we all rebel against God's word in our heart. And because of that man's rebellion in his heart, the scripture tells us sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And then we find that as man is living, just every man is living to please himself and do that which just gratifies and satisfies his own personal nature and the old nature of the flesh, we're shown as God looks down from heaven, he is grieved at his heart. His heart is broken, his heart is sad because of the society that man, because of the way man living within society, within his creation. And the created beings are people that are breaking God's heart. And we read in verse 5, it says, and the Lord God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it says, it repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, for I am sorry, or it repenteth me that I have made them. And so ultimately God was not just, one verse said he was sorry, but the author said it repented God. It meant that God, you can hear say, God regretted making, creating man because of how they'd become. And yet even though this was the case, he still loved man. And we'll see that in a little moment or two. But I think to myself, well, how bad was creation and how bad was society in Noah's day compared to our day? What sins did man do in Noah's day that were so serious that deserved the wrath of God? And do those same sins not deserve the wrath of God today? Because if you sit in the house of God tonight and you're guilty of the sins that the people of Noah's day committed, then undoubtedly, just as they experienced God's wrath in his time, so if your sin is not repented of, you shall experience God's wrath in his appointed time for your life. And if nothing else to your soul, you ought to see the importance and the urgency of getting right with God, lest you do experience the wrath of God, lest you do experience the anger of God upon your life. Let me say to you, first of all, it says in verse 3, it says, three wee words, says, and God saw. It's amazing what the eye can see. You know, those of us who are blessed with good eyesight, and those of you who maybe eyesight's maybe feeling a little when you're in need of the glasses, the fact is, irrelevant of that, we all, it's amazing what the eye can see and what the eye can look upon. And yet, if only we could see what God sees. And as I was thinking about this afternoon, and I was just considering the message and considering what we're going to share together, I was thinking, well, really, if we could see what God sees as God's people, we would be a people who would, just like God's heart was broken then, our hearts would be broken now. So what sins did God see? What did he see when he looked upon society? Well, the scripture tells us that God saw the wickedness of man. And you will never often preachers mention the wickedness of man. Ultimately, we sort of, men and women put up their guard and they say, but hold on a minute now, but I'm not really wicked. I'm not really a bad person. I'm not really as bad as, you know, Joe Blogs up the street, or that young woman and the way she's living her life, or anybody else for that matter. I'm not really that bad a sinner. And yet I point you tonight very simply to what the Word of God says. And Jeremiah the prophet said of old, it said the heart, not just one man's heart, but all men's heart created
man born without God and man born of a woman. The fact is, the scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And inside, although I can only see your outside, and I can only see the exterior, and your pastor can only see the exterior, the scripture says that the bit that we can't see with the physical eye, God sees with his eye, because God sees the heart. And so when men try to hide their sin, and when men try to cover their sin, really the only person that they're deceiving is themselves, because they cannot deceive God, because God sees the heart of all men. And folks, the reality is, the reason why our heart is deceitful and desperate wicked is because of our sin. Because according to Scripture, we're born in sin. Now, let me make this clear to you. There's no way ever in this mission or any other gospel mission, for that matter, that you will ever become a Christian unless first you realize that you're a sinner heading for a crisis eternity. Unless you realize that your sin is separating you from God, that your sin is a serious matter. It's not the matter of you comparing your life with somebody else and you're seeing that you're just a little bit better than they am. They are. That's only pride, which is sin. It's the fact that it's your sin personally, whatever that sin might be, is separating you from a holy God. And it's that sin will keep you out of heaven. The scripture also tells us in Noah's day there was evil thoughts continually. There was corruption, there was violence. It says, Luke records for us in Luke 17, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink. They married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And you see, here were people in Noah's day, and really when it says they were eating and drinking, what it really simply means is that they were so busy with life, with the present, that they had no thought about the eternal. And I don't really know you all personally, but the reality is, maybe that's you. Maybe that sums up your life. You're so busy and so active with the present that you're not thinking about the eternal. And the reality is, folks, you've got to consider the eternal, because if you're spared to your 70, that's 70 years. But what is 70 years compared to 7,000 years or 70,000 years or 7 million years or 7 billion years? And the reality is, folks, man is only in life and in time for a very short period. Whereas when we die, we enter eternity, which is endless, which is never ending. And it's for this place that we need to prepare, because the fact is, if we're not prepared for Christ, we shall spend forever without God. Or ever, if we prepare for Christ, we will spend forever with Christ. And the only time we can prepare is this very short period in life. It's known as time. And not just in time, but the only time we can prepare is when God, by His Spirit, is at work in our hearts. Because we just can't become Christians when we like it. We just can't become a Christian when we take the notion. We can only become a Christian when God, the Spirit, is striving with our hearts and revealing Christ to us and showing us our need and revealing our lost estate and revealing how we need to be born of the Spirit of God. May I also say to you, secondly, for this man, what you say, what other types of sins were there in Noah's day? Well, there was deceitfulness. Men were desperately wicked. Men, the scripture tells us, were evil thoughts continually. Men, there was corruption, there was violence. But even before Noah's day, even before whenever Adam and Eve had left the Garden of Eden, we're told of the sins that men committed. We're told of two brothers known as Cain and Abel, and we find this. There took this battle between two brothers. There was like, the both of them became, well, should I say, one was at war with the other. And we're told very simply that Cain was at war with his brother Abel. And the reason why he was at war with his brother Abel was because when Abel brought his sacrifice to God, it was accepted. When Cain brought his sacrifice to God, it was rejected. And because of it, because of the jealousy in his heart, his jealousy led to hatred, and his hatred led to murder. And all stemmed from the fact that he was not willing to obey God. You see, for Cain thought he could be accepted by God by his own works, by his own good deeds. He thought that he could be
come into God's presence by the labor of his hands. And we live in a province, and although the gospel is preached often and frequently, and it's doubtful if there's any village or any town in the north of Ireland that doesn't at least have someone who is faithful to the gospel of Christ. And yet, even though that is the case, there are thousands and thousands of people today who have gone to the house of God, and they think that it's because of the labor of their hands that they can get into the presence of God. Some people think it's because they've been baptized as a child that they have access into the presence of God. Some people even think that because they have taken of communion at the Lord's table, that is getting them into the presence of God. That makes them accepted with God. Some people think that because they're members or they're holding a role of leadership within their local church, that gets them into the presence of God and that gets them accepted with God. Some people think that as long as they do good and they say their prayers, that gets them to God. And let me say something to you, dear folk. That's what Cain thought. Cain thought, if I can work and I can bring the labor, the fruit of the land and the labors of my hands, then maybe God, and God, this sacrifice that this man brought was rejected, and because he wasn't willing to obey what God said. And sinner this evening, you need to see this is of utmost importance. It is like old Top Lady said, it's not the labor of our hands can fulfill God's own demands. Could my zeal or respite? No. Could my tears forever flow? Nothing can for sin atone. Very simply, the hymn writer says, the only thing that I can cling to is clinging to Christ and Christ only. Now, let me ask you tonight very personally, as you sit in this house of God, if the day comes when you stand before the Almighty, and you will stand at either one of two thrones, which are either known as the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. When you stand, if you stand without Christ, you'll stand at that place known as the great white throne. And God will say to you, why did you not trust my son? And it'll be no good you saying to him, well, I attended the Congregational Church in Ballymena. It'll be no good to you saying to him, well, I did my best, and I tried my best. Let me say to you something, good folk. I visited outside Strabane, helping a dear brother in the Lord doing some meetings. And I remember rapping on this door, and as the door opened, I could see instantly it was a Catholic home. I could see a crucifix and this figure upon the crucifix. And we chatted to the lady a wee moment or two, and I said to the lady, can I ask you a wee simple question? Are you sure of heaven? Well, she says, young man, I'd like to think so. Well, I says, why do you think you're sure of heaven? Well, she says, I do my best, and I say my prayers, and I go to Mass, and all these other things. I said, let me ask you another question. If all those things were sufficient to get you to heaven, tell me this, why did Jesus die on the cross? And a wee moment or two, she was just quiet and still and said, no. She said, you know something, young man, I never thought about that before in my life. Sinner, let me ask you tonight, if all your good works and all your good deeds was enough to get you to heaven, answer me this simple question, why did Jesus day? And when God looked on heaven, listen to your soul, he saw his heart was broken because of the way society had become and what man had become. And tonight I want to say to you, God's heart breaks for you if you're without Christ, because he sees how far you have got away from what God wanted you to be. But yet this message in Genesis 6 is not just a message, it's by no means a message of doom, but there's a message of hope. Because here and there you find whenever, not just do I see that where Noah was concerned, we see this heart that was broken, but then we see a second, there was this boat of safety. Because in the midst of the fact that God was going to send judgment and God's wrath was going to be poured out, God said to this man, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. And that ark is going to be a means of rescuing people. That ark is going to be a means of refuge. That ark is going to be a means of a place of refuge for people who are, whoever gets inside that ark will be safe from the judgment, my judgment. Whoever enters that ark will have a place of refuge from my wrath. So Noah sets about the task, and for 120 years we're told he preaches, and he preaches righteousness, and while he's preaching, he's nailing, he's preaching, he's cutting, while he's preaching, he's building, he's constantly, he's doing both tasks at the same time, because he realizes that as he's laboring among these people, he's preaching these people, because he wants these people to escape God's wrath. So ultimately this man, as he's laboring away, here we find him, he's pleading with the people, and at the same time, he's plodding away and he's doing this work that God has called him to. And this ark was in the Old Testament what Christ is in the New Testament, because for Noah in the Old Testament, where as he built this ark, everybody inside, everybody who would enter the ark would be safe from the wrath of God. Whereas in the New Testament, it's not about being inside a church, it's not about being under a specific denominational tag, it's about being in Christ. And when a man is in Christ, he's safe. When a man is in Christ, he knows that when he's in the Savior, he will not experience the wrath of God. What did Jesus say in John 10? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And you know, people ask the question, well, in truth, how can this so-called God of love let people experience or let people go to this place called hell? And it's a simple answer to that question, is that God never lets people go to such a place. Men choose that. When men choose to live their lives their own way and do their own thing, men choose this route. When men choose to go to please themselves rather than to please God, men choose this route whenever they disobey the scriptures and they just live according to the flesh and according to their own nature. And here we find, whenever Noah's building this ark, then this word comes in Genesis 7 and says, God says, now Noah, I want you to come. Come now in all thy house into the ark. And you can imagine what it must have been like on that day, on that occasion, for after all these 120 years have passed and the ark is now finished and God's about to send the judgment and the wrath is going to come and the floods are going to come down and the earth is going to give up the water from within her inner belly. And so Noah's making this last journey as he walks up the doorway into the ark. And I'm sure as he's walking up, the people is there as he's passing them by, as they passed them by in many days. And maybe for whatever reason, the people maybe even knew that this was Noah's last occasion that maybe he would ever see them. But they could maybe have laughed and jeered and mocked him. And maybe you're a Christian and you're working in your workplace and you've work colleagues and they're laughing and they're mocking and they're jeering. And the truth is, folks, what we need to remember is that we've got to remain faithful to God just as Noah remained faithful. And here was this man, and as he's making his way up, and possibly as they're laughing at him and as they're mocking at him, and maybe Noah out of a heart, he's saying, now I'm telling you, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, come into the ark and come now, because the wrath of God is coming. I want you to come into the ark now, come. God has invited us, God has invited me and my family to come. Will you not come and join us? And maybe he's pleading with the people, come and join us, come and join us, because God's wrath is coming. And still they laugh. And still they mock. Noah, you're mad. Noah, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool. Well, anyway, the scripture tells us that as Noah went into the ark, Noah went, and he went by one way, through one door. And sinner, if you're ever to be in Christ, there's only one way you can come. And there's only one door you can enter. And the door is Jesus. And this man who's the door said he was also the way. And sinner, I'm saying to you this evening now, there's only one person you can come to confess your sins to. There's only one person who can deliver you from your sin and set you free. There's only one person who can break those chains which have slaved you and entangled you for years. There's only one person who can set you free, and it's that great emancipator, that man, Jesus Christ. Can I say to you this evening, just as God said to Noah, come, so God invites you to come.
And I'm told in Isaiah that God the Father invites you. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. And man, we look at our lives and the times when the Spirit of God reveals what our hearts are really like, and that's how we see how wicked, how deceitful our hearts are, and we say, Lord, could you ever forgive me? And God says, I can if you'll only but come. I can if you'll only but come. I listened to the words of Jesus, and Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I listened to the words of the Spirit of God when he spoke to the seven churches. And after that, and latterly in chapter 22, he says, And the Spirit and the bride, they say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. And this evening, this invitation goes out to you personally, wherever you are in this house of God. Or maybe you're listening online. And in the quietness of your own home, just right now, listen, you're invited to come to Christ. Not any way, but God's way. Acknowledging that you're a sinner, acknowledging you failed, willing to repent of your sin. Now, there's a big difference in repenting and saying sorry. Whenever I was a child growing up in Moneymore, my mother used to make wee buns. She was a housewife, and whenever we were children, she didn't go out to work. She worked at home, best way of putting it. And whenever I had to come from school, we just literally lived about 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes, 3 minutes would took us to local primary school. When I would come in through the door, my mother was baking and had some cakes, wee bun things, and wee fruit buns things. I don't even know how you describe them, but anyway, they were wee bun case things. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You do. And I went through the door, and man, the smell of these buns, homemade bacon, boys, is hard to beat. And I come in, and mother say, now, it's simple now, Nigel. You can have a bun after tea, but don't you dare touch one before tea. Don't you dare. And she had them all well laid out, you know. She had four this way and six this way and a wee tray. You remember, you women know the wee silver tray thing with the wee holes and wee square holes and to let the air up through. So anyway, I don't know how it happened, but I walking by, and for some unknown reason, it just happened to be in my pocket. And the cake just jumped to the tray and into my pocket. So when I felt it in my pocket, I used to run up the stairs, and I wouldn't even be getting to the top stair. Next thing, my mother would roar up and say, Nigel, what did I ask you not to do? And so, I just came down and did my usual old thing, and I just had a wrap around my wee finger. And I says, oh, Mom, I'm sorry. Look, she says, it's all right, son, you can have it this time. So that was fine, and that was grand. The next week came, and the same thing I did all over again. And the following week, the same thing I did all over again. And there's some people, and they come to God and say, well, Lord, I'm sorry, but there's no change. And we think we can just come to God, and we can keep our sin. And we can come to God and just say, well, Lord, I'm coming to you, and I want to make sure I get my ticket to heaven. And Lord, whatever that ticket might be, whatever shape, whatever form it is, as long as I've got my name and some ticket, then I know I'm going to heaven. Lord, I can just live any old way I like. And this book tells me something different. Because this book tells me if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. And it's not, folks, that Christ gives me a new start to life. It's the fact that he gives me a new life to start with. That's a big difference. There's many people get to the 31st of December and they make resolutions and they're looking for new starts to a new year. It's not a new start I need. It's a new life I need to start with. Because my old life was defeated. My old life was crippled by sin. My old life was just a mess, an absolute mess without Jesus. But when he comes now, he makes a difference. And there's some people, and it's not the fact that they don't want to come, they want to come, but the fact is that they don't want to see a difference in their lives. Because they don't want to let go. And because they don't want to let go, God in return lets them go. Like we read in Romans, where God gives men over to their own desires and their own lusts. God said, come. Then we're told, and very simply, and that then it says that, God shut them in. I used to live in Plymouth, my wife and I, and I remember speaking in Plymouth one day and one night in a wee gospel hall, and I remember preaching there, and I used to say, you know, whenever this door was shut, man, everyone heard this great thud as the door was shut, as God, in his anger and his wrath, slammed the door shut so all would hear. And then I had to sit and I had to think, and I thought, but that's my God to the very last minute is a God of mercy and a God of grace. And as I sat and as I tried to put myself into Noah's boots and try to put myself into the whole picture, and I come to a different conclusion altogether, because I believe that whenever this door was closed, it was closed so gently that the people didn't hear it. Because it was closed in grace and it was closed in mercy. They had their opportunity, but they chose to go their own way. Sinner, as you come along to this mission, and whether this is your first time in Ballymena Congregational Church, or whether this is where you hang your hat, this gospel mission is always a time of opportunity. But you can miss it. And that door can so gently close that you'll not even hear it shutting. You know, that reminds me of the fact that when, on that day when God shut the door, it reminds me of another day that is yet to come. And that day when the scripture tells me that the Savior himself shall burst through the clouds and shall take his church to be with himself. And the fact is, the scripture tells that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And so shall we with ever with the Lord. You know, folks, let me say something to you. There's coming a day when God's grace and mercy will be no longer available for sinners. When he bursts through the clouds, which is known as the second coming of Christ, just as the people of Noah's day missed their opportunity, so let me say to you, dear soul, you can miss yours. And yet the word of God says to you this evening, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know what the scripture tells me? The scripture tells me two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be in the one bed, and the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Let me put your modern slant on it. Two shall be in the one car, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be sitting on the sofa drinking tea, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be walking the park in hand, and one shall be hand in hand, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. And so this door that is open is the same door that can close. The question is, when that door closes, will you be in or will you be out? I had the great privilege as a child of going to the Gospel Hall on Monday Moor. We went to Sunday school at 2:30 in the Congregational Church, and then we were sent down to the Gospel Hall at 3:30. We had also the great privilege of, we learned a memory verse, and every time you learned a verse you got 2p. And now I was over there Balnafai doing a driving one day, and I met a couple of young lads, and they go to wee Gospel Hall, and I was saying, do you still learn memory verse? Oh, I was still learning. He says, do you still get 2p? 2p? He says, we get a pound a verse. He says, a pound a verse? He says, I could have been a millionaire whenever I was a child. Amount of verses I learned. But 2p was great, because Mr. Swanson, Money Moore, he was an old Methodist,
2p bought me 2 blackjack or a bubble gum or 2 fruit salad. Do you remember? You young ones don't have a clue what a blackjack is, but it really is what it says is what it does. It makes your mouth black. But anyway, whenever you were a child, you thought this was great. Well, anyway, you know, the amazing thing was, you know, whenever I remember back to those days, I'm grateful to God that there were those who faithfully taught us the importance that we need to be ready. That from a child, it was instilled into us the importance of being ready. While I was there in Gospel Hall, they used to sing a wee chorus. They didn't have any music. They were writing tight. And not that by any means I'll hold that against them. But anyway, I'm faithful to God. Thank God for them. And I mean that now. And I'm no ashamed to say it. We sing a wee chorus. One door. And only one. And yet it's sage or two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? Now answer me that question personally for yourself tonight. Which side of the door are you on? I'm not asking you which church you belong to. I'm not asking you how many good deeds you've done. I'm asking you which side of the door are you on? On the inside or the out? Because if you're still on the outside, you can get in, but you've got to come through Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we lovingly ask thee, dear God, by your Spirit, that you would help us tonight. We need your Spirit to work. We confess again, Lord, that the words of man and the thoughts of man cannot cause another man to think about his own soul. This must be you and you alone. And we are looking to thee, dear God, to bless your word that has went forth this evening, that it would bring forth fruit. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together as we bring our service to a close. Psalm number 652, the light of Christ has come into the world. The light of Christ has come into the world. We'll stand together when we get the note. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Now, before we go, before we just pray, can I just ask those of you who know and love the Savior, please do stand with us in prayer. You might not be able to come and join in every meeting, but we do ask you to pray with us. Pray earnestly with us, that God by His Spirit might move. And for those of you who are amongst us tonight who don't know Christ as your Savior, as Raymond has said, there is literature at the door. I would like to think that both Raymond and myself are approachable and will gladly talk to you. We can come to your home and speak with you. But if you are considering and you, God is working in your heart and speaking to your life, don't let this opportunity pass you by. But seek the Lord while He may be found. Our Father, we ask you tonight, dear God, to part us with your blessing and your peace. And we've often asked, Lord, we do not know what each week holds for any one of us. But we know that when we're in Christ, we know that nothing happens to you by surprise. And we know that nothing will happen to us that you will not be with us in it. We pray, dear God, that even as we leave this house of thine, that, Lord, thy word may continue to speak into hearts and lives. And Lord, we lovingly pray for those who are amongst us tonight who don't know thee as Savior. Lord, by your Spirit, dear God, will you come, will you work, will you move, and will you glorify your name? For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.